Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. So this week is the first story inspired by the three winning story starters out of a contest that I ran on my Facebook group for my podcast. This one was a runner-up and inspired by Anthony Stockman. Before we jump into this week's episode, the podcast is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. They're a very talented group of people creating original indie films and content. Go to their website at orangehatfilmproductions.com. They've got a lot of stuff on there you can check out for free. They've also recently begun production on one of my stories, The Door in the Woods, and they're going to be adapting that into their next project titled Door into Darkness. So if you want any more information or to check out some of their other content, just go to orangehatfilmproductions.com or check out any of their social media handles. Just search Orange Hat Film Productions on Facebook or Instagram. And now, without any further delay, on to the story. A young man found himself in a pit of despair. Unfortunately for him, this was an actual pit. How did he get into said pit? A fair question, and one he couldn't seem to find an answer to. This sent him even further into the pit. The one made of despair, not the literal one. The literal one was doing nothing other than simply existing and confining him. It had to be at least 20 feet high, no more than 5 feet wide all around. The ground and walls were made of a black kind of dirt, and coated with a thick layer of frost that made intricate patterns across the interior. When he dug his fingers in, it gave away a little bit, but it was painful on his fingernails, and it didn't seem the most viable option of getting out. Above him was a night sky full of twinkling stars that he couldn't seem to identify. Not that he knew much other than the Dippers and Orion's Belt. And so there he was, in a pit of despair, both literally and metaphorically, without any clue as to how he had gotten there. He was thinking of shouting for help when he saw a dark figure poke its head out over him. Backlit by the stars above, he couldn't make out any features. It was too dark. But he saw the eyes examining him curiously. They glinted like a cat in the darkness, and what began as a creeping, unsettling feeling quickly turned into a deep, dark fear. He stood in the hole, looking up, holding his breath. The night was quiet, but he could hear faintly the creature sniffing, taking in long, deep breaths through something on its face. He was increasingly aware that whatever he was looking at, and whatever was looking down at him, and smelling him, was not human. He tried to open his mouth to shout something, maybe scare it away if it was an animal, but found that he was unable to make any noise. It just stuck in his throat the same way they tended to in a nightmare that you couldn't awake yourself from. It's a nightmare, that's it, he thought to himself, in a bad attempt to calm down. It didn't work, but he closed his eyes hard and kept them that way for more than a few minutes, telling himself it wasn't real, it couldn't be. He didn't even know how he got here. Actually, he couldn't remember much at all. He couldn't remember going to bed, where he worked, a family. Fuck, he couldn't even remember his name. And the harder he tried, the more it all eluded him. He felt as if whole parts of his mind had been locked away and he had lost the key, or something had taken it from him. He opened his eyes and was still in the pit. The mysterious creature that had been looking down on him had apparently moved on. There was once more nothing overhead but the stars. And was that the moon? If it was, it seemed oddly far away. You're dreaming. You have to be. Nothing else makes sense. He slapped himself a few times, soft to start but gradually harder, hoping to shock himself awake but to no avail. He wanted to try shouting out again, but after the eyes of the thing he had seen overhead, he wasn't sure if that was the best idea either. So he had no other choice but to climb. He kicked his feet into the dirt and gripped the frosted walls with the tips of his fingers. He felt like his nails might snap and break off at any moment, sending him falling back to the bottom of the pit with a painful thud. But amazingly, they held. He grunted and grimaced and inched his way up the pit, making slow and steady progress, digging his fingers painfully into the side and kicking just enough of the wall to give his feet purchase. Though he felt like by the time he got out, his toes may be bleeding as well as his fingers. He finally makes it to the top and hoists himself over onto the cold ground above, breathing heavily and clutching his aching fingers to his chest. He hears a loud humming coming from one of his sides and turns slowly. He's not entirely sure what his eyes land on, something gigantic and metal that he struggles to define. A ship? A skyscraper? Whatever it is, he's sure that it isn't good. The humming begins to grow louder, and he scrambles to his feet. Looking around, he makes out no defining landmarks, none whatsoever. No trees, mountains, or roads. His eyes instead take in a pocked and scarred landscape with scattered holes, exactly like the one he had climbed out of, stretching as far as his eyes could see. The humming had now reached a loud, fevered buzz, and his only instinct was to head away from the large metal object that seemed to be emitting it. He started to run away, avoiding holes every dozen or so yards. He looked in one as he ran and saw a woman with dirty blonde hair and dirt on her face looking up at him, petrified. He looked into another and saw a small boy, crying softly in the corner of another deep, dark pit. After that one, he stopped looking down at all. The hum had now become so deafening that he thought his ears may pop and his brains would start dribbling out the sides. He began running faster and faster, ignoring the stitch in his side and trying his hardest not to slow. Eventually, he looked down at his feet again and saw them pumping away, but the ground had stopped moving, and he was running in place. He looked fearfully over his shoulder and saw that a bright green light had engulfed everything behind him as he began to get pulled slowly backwards into the air. He screamed, louder than he had ever done before, trying to fight whatever was drawing him in, and failing. As he lifted higher into the air, he saw rows and rows and rows of holes dotting the landscape. Hundreds, thousands, perhaps millions, filled with people like him, who didn't even know who they were or how they got there. He screamed bleakly until his lungs gave out and his world faded from him. Tony woke up in his bed, coated in a thick layer of sweat, breathing hard, a stitch in his side. He looked over and saw that his wife was sleeping peacefully. He sat there for a minute in the darkness, doing nothing but catching his breath, before eventually standing up and walking to the bathroom. He turned on the light and winced, and looked at his eyes in the mirror. He looked like shit, but he had only gotten a couple hours, so that was to be expected after the dreams he'd had. He went to turn off the bathroom light when he noticed why he had winced to begin with. He had dirt and blood caked in his fingernails. His heart skipped a beat and he looked down to see that some of his toes were bruised and the nails cracked and bloody. A small chill went down his spine. He washed his hands and cleaned the dirt from under his nails. He dealt with his toes the best he could, wrapping two of them and bandaging another, and then he went back to bed, where he lay, sleepless, until the morning. He knew that nobody would ever believe him, even his wife, so he never told, though he did suffer from insomnia for the rest of his life. When he did sleep, he often dreamt of the holes and the people within them, and the eyes that had been looking down on him while he was in his very own pit of despair. And that's it. So, again, that was the first story inspired by the three winners of my Facebook contest. That one was inspired by Anthony Stockman. If you'd like to be involved in other Facebook contests like this, I do have a Facebook group. Just look for Storytime with Shade on Facebook. It is there. It's the best way to get updates or follow anything that's going on. Thank you, everybody, so, so much again for listening and any and all support at all. If you haven't yet, consider leaving a rating on whatever you're listening to, whether it's iTunes or Anchor or Spotify or whatever. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you get notified of future episodes, and even share the story around if you like it. I will be back next week with another story. Until then, thank you so much once more, and have a good one.